Has everybody heard of Kate Adie?
Yes.
Kate Adie was a reporter. One of the things she was involved with at one time was a war correspondent.
Yeah, you know, Square, and so on.
I have tremendous respect for those people, although I think they're a little crazy as well.
Yeah.
They're right in the thick of it, reporting what's going on. And chapter two is the Kate Adie equivalent of what's going on in Nineveh on the day that it's destroyed. It's describing the scene as they see it of the utter devastation that's going on. That's what it's about. Okay. Good. Yeah. Right. So we'll. That's essentially the description of what's going on.
Yeah.
It's the destruction, and it's terrifying. If you were in the middle of what was going on in here, as it was in the time of the fall of Nineveh, it must have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about this chapter is it's what we call it's a prophecy. It's a description in the present tense. This is what's happening, that's what I see, but it's all in the future.
Yes.
It's almost as if he's been transported to the day when it did happen,
mm-hmm.
to describe it to people before it happens. You got the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our equivalent of Kate Adie, I suppose you could say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so he says this, an attacker advances against you, Nineveh. So the destroyer is coming, and who was the destroyer that destroyed Nineveh? Do you know?
The Medes and the Persians.
No.
Assyrians.
No.
The Lord.
The Assyrians were the Ninevites.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So who's before? Who came after the Ninevites?
Babylonians.
The Babylonians. Yes, the Babylonians. Assyria was a very powerful one, but Babylon sort of overtook everything. But they destroyed Nineveh. It's still ruins today, did you know that?
Yeah.
Still exists, just outside Mosul now.
Yeah.
That's the modern place called Nineveh, really. But the actual ruins of Nineveh are just down the road. What ISIS have left of it, mind you. They blew up a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Alright, so, and he's talking to the hearing the guards, or the people in charge, the commanders, saying, guard the fortress, watch the road, brace yourselves, marshal all your strength. He's saying, there's an attack coming, get your backup ready, get strong to face this one. Of course, it's all useless because they're going to be destroyed, but at least they're going to make some effort at the defence, at least, yeah? And then we find this little bit thrown in there. The Lord will restore the splendour of Jacob like the splendour of Israel, though destroyers have laid them waste and have ruined their vines. Yeah? Here's a description of why Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Yeah? The Lord is going to restore the splendour of Jacob. What's happened to the splendour of Jacob and the splendour of Israel? It's been destroyed by the Assyrians.
Yeah.
They've destroyed everything and messed it up. It says the destroyers have laid them waste and ruined their vines. So basically their whole infrastructure, their life, their lifestyle have been destroyed. And here she goes, heading off with the mobile.
But Israel deserved what?
Israel was judged because of their sins.
Yeah.
Yes. They deserved justice and punishment, yes. But the remarkable thing is in the Bible all the time, and it's the way God works with his people, is you sin, he will discipline you, but the people who give you the rough time, he'll deal with them.
Yeah, but they did deserve in the first place.
Yes. One of the things is they did deserve chastisement, but the Assyrians, as always, went over the top.
Terrible.
Yes, yeah. And that's going to be the case with Babylon as well. They were God's rod, as it were, but they overdid it, and they're going to be judged as well. So Nineveh is going to come down because of what they've done to Israel. And it's talking about not just the north, it's all the tribes of Israel is referring to here. The splendour of Jacob is a reference to the whole 12 tribes. And destroyers have laid them waste. So this is future, of course. I've got a reference, Isaiah 5, verse 1. I will sing about the one I love, a song about the vineyard. What is the vineyard a picture of?
Israel.
Yes, the vineyard, the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the branches. He was picking up the idea of Israel being the vine, of course. And so they've ruined the vines, they've ruined Israel, so that's what's going to happen to them. Yeah. It's remarkable. I heard just the other day about the situation in Iran. Now, you know, it's a terrible regime there, the, well,
Ayatollah.
Dictatorship Ayatollah. With the Ayatollahs and whatever. But the poor people are suffering terribly. But now, in Iran, things are terrible. They've had the sanctions, which means the economy's collapsed. But added to the top of that, and it's not been in the international, there's been an earthquake, and there have been terrible floods. The place has been totally devastated by floods, and the government isn't putting in any money for infrastructure repairs. It's all going to funding terrorism, and the people are getting heartily sick of it, I think. So we need to pray for the people of Iran that they get rid of the lot at the top, but they've got the military on their side, of course, at the moment anyway. So it's a terrible situation. But the commentator was making this comment: if you, I mean, what's Iran's dream is to destroy Israel. That's
right.
Their intention, yeah. And the writer was saying is, if you, it's that Genesis 12 passage again, those that bless you, Abraham, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. And that's one of the, they believe, the causes of the great catastrophe that's going on there at the moment. Well, that's the case here with Assyria and Nineveh, yeah. If you curse God's people, if you harm them and destroy them, well, don't be surprised if judgment falls on you as well. Yeah, so we're back to that. Now, verse 5, yeah? The shields of his soldiers are red. The warriors are clad in scarlet. That used to be quite a common thing in the ancient armies. They dressed their soldiers in red. Why did they dress them in red? To show up. So it wouldn't show the blood. But the reason for not showing the blood wasn't that it wouldn't upset them, it meant that the enemy wouldn't feel encouraged that they were getting the upper hand. If you see the people you're attacking all bleeding, you think, oh, we're doing well. So they're dressed in red to make sure they couldn't tell that. That's their uniform, you'd say. So the shields are red, possibly copper is part of the reason for the colour, maybe, as well, yeah. The warriors are clad in scarlet, yeah. The metal on the chariots flashes on the day they are made ready. If you see the pictures, well, they're not drawings, they're carvings of the chariots and so on of the Assyrians, if you see them in the museums and whatever, they're all decorated with all sorts of flashy things. And I mean flashy things that sort of scatter the light and make them look really impressive. And that's what's going on. They've probably got metal on their chariots, just and if the sun shines on them, I mean, these are what we would describe as the top of the range military hardware for their day.
Like the horse guards.
But in their day, I mean, the horse guards to us are nice and ceremonial and they look nice. But if you had a Sherman tank coming out at you, you'd think differently. That's the equivalent of what it was in their days.
Yeah.
I mean, these are seriously pieces of destructive kit. And they're shining and frightening is the word. And he says the spears of pine are brandished. So they've got these things they're waving around. And they're not just waving them for fun, you know. I mean, these are going to be shot at people, of course. Yeah. The chariots storm through the streets, rushing back and forth through the squares. They look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. So the enemy's got into the city, as he's describing it here, and they're just charging around, knocking off everything that's moving, I should imagine. Kate Ady would have found this a bit worrying, I think. It's serious destruction that's going on, yeah? Oh yes, it's a big invasion, yes. He summons his picked troops, yet they stumble on their way. So the generals are calling in their best SAS men, right? But what's happening to them? Useless. They're all falling over. Yeah. They dash to the city wall. That's where they're going to try and defend the walls. I mean, we just moved back an hour or two because they're outside again now. They dash to the city walls trying to defend the walls. And it says here about it, the protective shield is put in place. Well, what he's describing is, the word is tortoise, is put in place. It wasn't the... Have you heard of the tortoise armament method. What the Romans did, this is long before that, they put their shields up and they just locked them all together, so it's like a big shell, you know, they're defended.
Yeah.
So you can be on the city walls throwing what you like at them, but underneath there, they're happy as Lally, you know. Well, it may not be that, it's more likely to be a battering ram with a cover over it that they're using against the walls, the outsiders. They're smashing out the wall to get in. So
no, they're attacking the wall.
It says attacking the wall, yeah, that's what they're doing, yeah. Right. The river gates are thrown open. Well, there were gates that had river defences, of course. There was a big moat around the place, really, at one time. But the river defences are no good. The walls are bashed open, and the palace collapses, it says. Well, the word is melts, actually. Almost like a picture of something in a hot... Dissolves, yeah, in a hot pot, going... melting down, you know. Why is the palace collapsing? It's been smashed. Yes, they're going in there and destroying everything. Yeah. So that's that. Let's have a look what I've got to remember. Yes, the palace collapses. Yeah. And then another bit of information as to why it's happening. It is decreed that the city be exiled and carried away. Who decreed that?
Lord.
Lord did. Yes. It is decreed. And if it's decreed, he's talking about the future, of course. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Its slave girls moan like doves and beat upon their breasts. The slave girls may be, mean the slave girls there, but it can also mean like the community people. If the city is the queen, then her slave girls are the people. That's the idea as well. And they beat their breasts. What's the sign of that meaning?
Despair.
Yes. There's a story that Jesus tells of the parable in Luke 18 about the rich man, and the Pharisee and the tax collector. They went to worship the Lord, and the Pharisee stands up and says, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like other men, I do my bit, I say my stuff, and I'm not like him, that tax collector. And then he says the tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. Yeah, a sign of shame and self-disgust, really, at himself. And that's what's going on in Nineveh. The people realize doomsday has arrived, yeah. Nineveh is like a pool and its water is draining away. How about that? You've got the picture of that, you know. It's a pond that someone's pulled the plug on. You know, and it's all going away.
That's like a broken dam.
A broken dam, yes. Yes. That's the picture. I mean, they had water defences, of course. But this should have been a tremendous lesson for the Babylonians, you know. In the time in Daniel, when you read about Belshazzar's feast,
yes,
you remember?
I remember.
Yeah, the writing comes on the wall. In Belshazzar's feast, he's having a feast because he's so secure, because they've got the great city of Babylon with the waterways all around it as a defence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they think we're sitting pretty. He'll just have this feast, yeah, just to show how cocksure he is.
Yeah.
And what did they do? What did the Medes do to destroy Babylon? They diverted the river.
Yeah.
So their moat disappeared. Mm-hmm. That's the point, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening with Nineveh, in a sense. It's just, its defences itself is draining away like a pool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Stop, stop, they cry. But no one turns back. Who's saying stop, stop? It's the generals.
Mm.
They want all the people to stay and fight. But what are they doing? They're running. Yeah, turning and running. There's nobody staying to defend the place. It's a disaster. And are they running away? No one turns back.
Mm-hmm.
So even the military have got no more power or control yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a description. This is the Lord speaking now. He's instructing the invaders. Plunder the silver. Plunder the gold. The supply is endless. The wealth from all its treasures. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. Nineveh was fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy. When the Babylonians cleaned out Nineveh, they used most of the stuff to build their own place. You know, there was that much. The amount of gold and stuff that they had. Great lesson. We'll just draw the lesson from that, yeah? In the time of trouble, your goal's not going to do you any good. Yeah, right. Yeah. the wealth from all its treasures. And where did they get them from?
Spoils
of war from other peoples.
Yeah.
Yes, and well, it's time to let go, apparently. Yes, you can't hold on to it forever. Yeah. She is pillaged, plundered, stripped, hearts melt, knees give way. These are sort of very graphic descriptions as the reporter is showing you what's going on with the people. Photograph of this person, photograph of the other, you know. Everything's pulled off, stripped off, anything that's valuable taken off. People are panicking and fainting, yes? Knees give way. Bodies tremble is one, my version there.
Yeah.
Every face grows pale. Yeah. The word for bodies tremble is that they're in labour, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, suffering from, well, you ladies would know better than I do on this one, but they're in terrible pain. I should imagine from injuries, amongst other things.
Why do you think how much, you know, Lord, that changed all this in the twinkling of an eye, that expression, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah. The week before, happy as anything,
yeah.
And now, this is happening, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Future, of course, but that's what's going to happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every face grows pale, yeah. The blood's left their face, they've, you know, they've drained away. Fear, yeah. And here's the question then. Where now is the lion's den? Well, now is long way in the future, but as far as the writer's concerned, now is in front of his eyes, yeah. Where now is the lion's den, the place where they fed their young, where the lion and the lioness went and the cubs with nothing to fear? What's the lion and the lion's den?
According to Josephus, this is a play on words, because the Nineveh had all these pictures of lions all around everything.
Yeah, it was one of their mottos, wasn't it, in a way? So the lion is the is Nineveh, the lion's den is where Nineveh is,
yeah,
the people there, yeah? Yes, and the cubs are the people, of course, most of that.
Yeah.
You've seen them, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's the Ishtar Gate in Nineveh. Yeah, that's got massive strange creatures on there, yes, yeah. Sort of lion heads and things, yeah. Yeah, so he's using the lion picture and he's saying is, here was this beast of beasts, the king of the beasts, sitting in glory and fearless, nobody to worry about, nothing to fear. Yeah, well, the day's arrived, yes. The lion killed enough for his cubs and strangled prey for his mate, filling his lairs with the kill and his dens with the prey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they accumulated so much. He's using, obviously, lion language, but he's talking about the people in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they were terrible, no doubt about it. And, it's a short chapter, so we're nearly done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. Isn't that's amazing? Yeah. I am against you. Well, you could say that, but when the Lord Almighty says it, you're in trouble. I am against you.
Reminds me of that verse in the New Testament. If God is for us, who
can be against us? Yes. Just make sure he's for you then.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah. The tragedy is, isn't it? Of course, this is the place, as our brother mentioned last week, this is where Jonah had visited,
yeah.
And people had heard and listened and believed and repented, and God had spared them. And I mean, it wasn't a sort of a 5-minute wonder, you know. God had spared them because Jesus says the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment and condemn his generation.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they believe God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too late now. They've gone way past that.
Mm.
The next generation, of course, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will burn up your chariots in smoke. And do you know what happens when chariots go up in smoke? There's nothing left.
No.
It's into air.
Yeah.
I look at the... and they're terrible things that we see in the news with all the armaments that go around in the world. Unbelievable.
Mm.
The stuff that people seem to spend their fortunes on accumulating all this monster material. Well, just this, the Lord says, I'll burn up your chariots in smoke. Well, it's all going up. Your best, and that, as I say again, the chariots that they had were top of the range military hardware.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, there's a verse in one of the Psalms, isn't it? Some people trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Yeah, best place to be.
Yeah?
So the chariots are going up in smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. So they're all going. So there'll be nobody to drive them anyway.
No.
Yeah. Right. I will leave you no prey on earth. He's using the lion image again. You're not going to be able to collect your booty anymore, your spoils of war, because your war has ended.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. Yeah. What did their messengers do? They were the control agents, in a sense. That's where the news went out, and it was their internet, really, in a way. How they managed to sort of communicate. He says, you're closing down.
Yeah.
Nineveh, gone. And you can visit there today, and it's a pile of dump rubble. So he was right, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we're going to bump him off again next time, in chapter 3. It's a repeat almost. Yes, I'm sorry to say, but it's a triple whammy, I suppose, Nahum is delivering to say that Nineveh is going. Alright, well, we'll leave it at that. Is that alright? To be thankful, you're not in a war zone.
You're right, yeah.
We don't, when it's like this, and it's in the twinkling of an eye, what's going on, though? No, it's like, you know, even as we say, we turn from, in this country, from God a lot. I mean, things can, you can change things for us,
yes,
a great deal.
That's right.
Just,
well,
and at the same time, though, the urgency there for us, I know we have to do what the Spirit leads us to do, but the desire and everything to reach people.
To let people know, yes.
So that
yeah.
they not go like
swallow
these,
up like
we
yeah.
could
yeah.
have
yeah.
done.
Yeah. That's right. But things can change just like that. I mean, that's what dear Caroline was saying on Sunday, wasn't it? Cambodia was the breadbasket, literally, the pinnacle of civilization in Asia. Mm. And within a few years, it's down to nothing because of the corruption and the wickedness there. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about Iran, but you may notice that the capital is sinking every year, it's getting that much lower.
Is it?
Well, because they're extracting so much water.
Ah, right.
They're drying up. And
they're not short of water now.
You're getting huge cracks going all across their highways and roads.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I saw videos of the bridge system has gone. Most of the bridges have gone. In 25 of 31 provinces, there's been massive destruction. Yeah. So, and that's similar area. But it was, yeah. 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 Next door. Well, dear friends, I'm sorry, it's miserable business. But the lesson to draw from all of that is God is in charge, he knows how to look after his people, and he certainly knows how to deal with your enemies. We should be grateful for in the world in which, because we're powerless. I mean, the Israelites couldn't do a thing, but the Israelites, God, could do everything, which is good. Eh? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we see this terrible destruction and devastation, and Lord, we realize that there are people involved here. It's not just buildings and gold and stuff, Lord, but people's lives who built on straw, as it were, Lord, and total uselessness, Lord, of his own. Oh, Lord, may we be people who depend on you. Lord, in the middle of the storms, in the trials and the challenges that we face in our world, Lord, there are judgments around because of the sins of the nations and our own people's sin as well. Lord, we pray we may be faithful to you in whatever circumstances. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see the future, even as Nahum could speak of what was happening in front of his eyes, which were many, many years still to come. Lord, thank you. You know the end from the beginning. And Lord, we praise you that you've given us the privilege of reading the last chapter. That, Lord, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, to the reign of Jesus the King on earth. Lord, you're transforming all things, Lord. We bless you. Behold, I make all things new, you say, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, that the time will come when the wickedness and the sinfulness and the greed and the exploitation of all that's going on in our world at the moment, Lord, will be a thing of the past. Help us to be patient. Help us to love and serve you. And Lord, give us the grace to share with people that we can come across, Lord, about the promises that you've made for better things to come. Lord, have mercy on us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.